After all the debates, battles, spin, tax reform is finally going to be voted on this week in Congress, where it's expected to pass, hopefully. Claim by opponents has been that it's only big business and the super rich will benefit from this reform. An element of this bill not talked about much has Obamacare worshippers angry because it would actually bring about the end of the individual mandate. Joining us now with his analysis of the tax reform bill is Taxpayers Protection Alliance policy analyst Ross Marchand. How are you today, Ross?
Good. Thanks for having me on the program.
And website for Taxpayers Protection Alliance is protectingtaxpayers.org. And as I said in the intro, Ross, the claim by the opponents is this is for the big business and the rich. But you can go around really just do even CNN had a link to a tax calculator. And I did some punching and hypotheticals, you know, 20 to 45,000, no child, single, joint, whatever the case may be. I'm finding on the low end, and on the average taxpayer would be having maybe 3 to 5% more money in their pocket when this passes.
Absolutely, right. And you see these tax calculators popping up across all mainstream media outlets and in diverse areas and think tanks like the Tax Foundation and Tax Policy Center. The important thing to keep in mind is that rates across the board are going down, both at an individual and business level. Now, the business taxation is a little bit harder to keep in mind and conceptualize because those benefits to customers and to individuals and families are a little bit more indirect, but they're no less real. And when you cut the business tax rate and the corporate tax rate, you're ensuring lower prices, more hiring, and higher wages.
And certainly expansion of the businesses because of more money in their pocket. They can launch a new subsidiary if they're based in Michigan, maybe down in Oklahoma, for example, whatever the case may be.
Absolutely right. And that's really most important for small businesses. Because for the biggest businesses in this country, they can hire the best accountants and lawyers and get out of paying taxes. They're never going to pay the statutory rate, and they could afford to go overseas, go to Canada, as we saw the case of Burger King. And they don't have to pay that real rate, but small businesses are stuck paying that rate. And small businesses happen to be responsible for a disproportionate share of job creation and business growth in the United States. So that's the most important thing, to focus on small businesses, and this compromise does just that.
Well, it also comes into, they call it the pass-through business, which currently business income from a partnership, best corporation, sole proprietorship, that's taxed at individual rates. It's still, I guess, they didn't release all the details, but the what will be voted on gives businesses a new 20% deduction that file as a partnership, S-Corp, or sole proprietorship.
Correct, right. And what we've seen over the past few decades is that small businesses have been passing through and paying individual tax rates, which, I mean, when you're factoring in taxes at the state and local level as well, I mean, you're getting up to 40%, in some cases beyond 40%. So this idea to treat pass-throughs differently and to provide for a special tax rate is very important because, as I said before, small businesses are responsible for a disproportionate share of job creation in the United States.
Now, there were barkings from states like New York, New Jersey, and California, which are high tax states, among others, about the state and local tax deduction. The current law had been taxpayers who itemized could deduct unlimited state and local income, sales, and property taxes. The vote will be for this new agreement that it will allow taxpayers to take a property tax deduction in addition to deducting either income or sales taxes up to a $10,000 limit for all combined. Now, using New Jersey as an example, a taxpayer in New Jersey, if you can still deduct your property taxes, you're doing fine because that's the brunt in a state like New Jersey and California, I believe, too. The property tax is the heaviest hit out of your resident taxes.
Right. So what this compromise legislation does is it allows up to that $10,000 cap any sort of state and local tax. So that includes income sales or property tax. I think in the Senate version of the bill, it was limited to just property. But now you could pick whatever combination you want up to that $10,000 cap. And that's really important because I think it strikes the delicate balance that's needed. Because on the one hand, if you're cutting out that state and local tax deduction entirely, then it's not really fair to a lot of residents in high tax states. But on the other hand, you want to limit it somehow, one, to make sure that these provisions are paid for, this comprehensive tax overhaul is paid for, but number two, to eliminate incentives to grow the size of government at the state and local level.
Our Ross Marchand, who is a policy analyst with Taxpayers Protection Alliance, protectingtaxpayers.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I know it's a terrible thing when you even give the image that those who earn a lot are keeping more of their money, but again, we're looking at tax reform to benefit the overall economy. So what's the bad thing about allowing someone who earns $1 million a year to keep more money so that they can go out and buy more big ticket items? Because I'm sure everyone in the Ferrari dealership isn't super rich. They're earning a 9-to-5 salary. So the better off a Ferrari dealership does, the better off those individual job employees are doing. And the more, as far as the ownership of the Ferrari dealership, get more business, open another dealership, hire more people.
Absolutely right. Lowering those top tax rates are really important towards expanding job creation and increasing wages. But it's not just the top rates that are being lowered. It's tax rates across the board. So families, regardless of income, are benefiting from this tax overhaul.
I know the dumbest thing I think I've heard in all this debate that's been going on the last couple of months is, how does tax reform help the lower income people? Well, they already don't pay taxes. 50% of people don't pay taxes. You know, everyone doesn't have to get everything at every time.
Absolutely. And I would say that you need to look beyond the fine line. And when you're lowering business tax rates and when you're expanding hiring, I mean, that's helping out people regardless of income, and especially people who are desperate to find jobs in this economy. I mean, the economy is doing well, but I mean, there is still a lot of underemployment, especially concentrated among lower income folks. And when you increase wages and you increase hiring overall through reductions in business taxes, you're helping out lower income people.
True or false? The claim is that the business tax rate changes are permanent. The personal tax rate changes have a sunset date.
Yes. The sunset rates were calculated for budgetary scoring reasons. But here's the thing that's very important to keep in mind. Even though there's a sunset date, there is absolutely no way that Congress will vote to raise taxes at the end of that period. So it's really just in there for technical budgetary reasons. And in reality, we should be thinking of individual tax cuts as well as corporate tax cuts as permanent.
And as I referred to in the introduction, too, that this would mean the end of the Obamacare individual mandate, and many people say the end of Obamacare when this passes.
Absolutely. And Obamacare is a failed system that has been with us for too long, and it's been increasing premiums and decreasing consumer choice and just making for worse quality overall in our healthcare system. Healthcare is too important to be shackled by onerous mandates and reduce customer choice. So it's very important that we take this first step in the tax bill of eliminating the individual mandate.
And again, something for New Jersey property owners in particular, the mortgage interest deduction. They can now deduct interest payments on up to two mortgages worth up to a combined $1 million. Now it's the interest cap at $750,000 in the mortgage debt. But just as a wrap-up, we know that Marco Rubio has a problem with the child tax credit. He thinks that's too limited. Bob Corker has a couple of minor objections, too. Is it important for this is going to be a Republican pass bill. I mean, I can't see any Democrat jumping onto this, even if it's to look good for in a swing state election. But is it important for anyone who wants to support tax reform to look at the big picture? And if there is one or two little grains of salt that taste bad to them, they just have to swallow it and maybe work on that as an individual element after the fact?
I think so. And there are small compromises and concessions to be made to make sure that everyone is on board. But overall, it is important, if you're an elected representative, to look at the big picture and make sure that what you're voting for advances the country and advances our system to make sure that, in this case, we have a tax code that works for everyone. So even if senators like Marco Rubio do have a problem with some provisions and they're not happy with child tax credit, for example, it is very important to look at the big picture and ensure that comprehensive tax overhaul passes.
And for you listening, why this is important to be passed this week, that means, according to the IRS, all this would go into effect by this coming February, which is obviously your tax filing season as well. So the changes afoot can be in a really fast benefit and gain for all taxpayers at all levels, business, individuals, and everyone in between. You'll learn more about the work of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. ProtectingTaxpayers.org is their website. Here's their policy analyst, Ross Marchand. Ross, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.